All right, joining me now is Ivan Raiklin. Ivan the Terrible, as I call him. Ivan the Terrible.
Ivan the Horrible.
Ivan the Horrible, and that's now how I view him. That's how the opposition views him, because if you mess with Ivan, you're gonna get the horns. Colonel Ivan Raiklin, where are you tonight, sir?
So I just wrapped up all day. I was at the Capitol. We're gonna get to that hopefully, and then just right afterwards, I went and finished up attending a fundraiser for the number one draft picked America First candidate for Congress that was robbed by Kevin McCarthy from victory. His name is Joe Kent. So he happened to be in Washington, D.C. And guess who headlined the event?
You.
Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Okay, I was going to say you.
No. I'm nobody. I'm aspiring. I'm still aspiring to be nobody. That's how low in the totem pole I am.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, I interviewed Joe Kent at CPAC 2 years ago this summer.
Yeah, his story is amazing. He's an amazing person. Absolutely.
Wasn't he a Green Beret like you?
Yes, we may have served together, so I hear.
Oh, did you really? In Afghanistan or where?
10 years ago.
Wow. Where?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Exactly.
He
did serve together, and yes, that's okay. Probably about all I can say.
Okay. He was sitting with me at the news desk there at CPAC Dallas, and while I was interviewing him and we were live, the power went out. Donald Trump was supposed to be there that night or the next day, and so there was a lot of security, and the power went out. And of course, it was a conservative event, and you know, everybody, there was a lot of security. So anyway, Logan was behind the camera. My wife was standing right there, offset.
Right.
And he and I looked at each other, and the emergency lights came on so we could see each other. But it was dark in that big, gigantic hall. And there was a back door to the left of us, or to the right of me. There was a back door back there. We'd come in. And I looked at him, and I said, if anything is about to go down, I'm following you. And I said, hon, I'm going to grab you, and we're going to go, and we're following Joe. This guy is a trained warrior. Whatever he does, we're going to mimic and be right on him. And he said, I gotcha. So we sat there and waited for the power to come back up, and it finally did. We finished our interview. He's got a remarkable and yet sad family story, because his wife,
absolutely,
his wife was killed fighting ISIS in Afghanistan, was she not?
No, it was... Well, partially, yes. She was killed fighting ISIS in Syria.
In Syria, excuse me. Okay. And of course, she left behind, I think, a couple boys.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got two beautiful boys. He's an awesome dad. And it was funny at the fundraiser, because Matt Gaetz basically said, when he introduced him, he said, Matt, why are you here at a fundraiser for somebody that you want to get into Congress that'll basically make you the second most handsome man in Congress? And he's like, and that's coming from my wife. So that was amazing that he introduced him that way.
That's pretty funny.
That's true. I mean, well, he's just kind of like the full package in terms of intellect, physicality. I'll tell you a story. We were at a, let's say, training event together, and very elite folks were doing this training, and we were doing a movement, or I should say an event, where he beat me by approximately, I don't know, 3 seconds, a few footsteps. The person that came in third came in 45 minutes later.
Oh, wow.
And the person that came in fourth was 2 hours later.
Ooh.
So you can imagine what kind of an event it was. That literally is a testament to Joe and his just physicality, and obviously you've interviewed him and spoken with him. Brilliant mind, understands the issues, and his moral and ethical principles are unwavering, and that's why Kevin McCarthy went after him. Because imagine if there were two Matt Gaetz during the speaker's fight. I just don't think that they would have been able to withstand the barrage from both of them, along with Lauren Boebert and the rest of Real Team 6, because then you would have had 7. And it would have been a really bad day. It's probable that Kevin McCarthy would not have even been speaker had Joe Kent been in the fight.
And I want to make sure our audience understands. You're saying that Kevin McCarthy in his position in leadership at the time was trying to take out Joe Kent from becoming U.S. Congressman. How was he doing so? Right.
How did he do it? I think it was $3 to $4 million that he pumped into his opponent by trying to make sure that Joe lost the primary, and McCarthy almost pulled it off, but it's a jungle primary, so Joe got just barely squeaked by getting the second place in the primary, and then in the general election, I believe the same FTX money that Kevin McCarthy received, right, via the Ukraine funnel, and I did Substacks on this, it was the, I believe another $9 million in dark money was used against Joe, and he lost the general election by less than half a point.
Good grief.
Less than half a point, and he was outspent 4-1 by the opponent.
So do you have any news as far as Kevin McCarthy goes and any coming vote for him to vacate the seat?
I have massive news. So if you missed it, folks, massive news. Kevin McCarthy reached out to Mickey Whithoff several weeks ago when she was attending a hearing. I was with her with Gary McBride.
Wait, explain these names to the lay people. Who are these people?
Oh, yeah. So Gary McBride is the foremost expert on the video footage of J6, way more than Tucker and his people. So you need to have Gary McBride on if you haven't yet. And then you have Tommy Tatum, who witnessed Roseanne Boylan's death, being murdered by Lila Morris, the Metropolitan Police officer. So all these people are basically the J6 core group that support Mickey, which is Ashley Babbitt's mom, okay? So Kevin McCarthy's staffer reached out to Mickey and said, hey, can you meet with Kevin McCarthy on March 23rd? And I was like, wow, this is big.
So you're talking about Ashley Babbitt's mother meeting with Kevin McCarthy.
So she met with him today. She requested for, what's his name? Dave Summerall. Got to put the seatbelt on. Dave Summerall. I'm going to the vigil, by the way. That's why we're in the car. We're going to right outside the D.C. Gulag. And hopefully we can catch Mickey. We're a few minutes out. But she met with Kevin McCarthy. And for about 30 minutes, she wanted to have me there as well as Dave Summerall from Stop Hate, who happened to be on Tucker last night, in order to basically lay it out to him that, guess what? This is all the evidence we have related to J6 in addition to Ashley Babbitt being murdered. And last minute, yesterday, he has his general counsel, as well as the U.S. Capitol Police general counsel, call Mickey while I'm sitting next to her for them to tell her, Speaker McCarthy would like to only meet with you. And not to and they did. They also did it with an email. So I don't know. It sounds like Kevin McCarthy's scared.
Let's be a little more specific there. It sounds like Kevin McCarthy is scared of our Ivan Raiklin, our DC correspondent and broadcaster, Ivan Raiklin.
Deep State Marauder was going to tell him the truth. The truth is ugly.
What were you going to tell him? What would you have said?
I would have slipped in some things like, you're an absolute scum for taking out Joe Kent, the number one patriot, America First candidate in the entire nation. I'm never going to let that go. That's number one. Number two, you need to go ahead and use and exercise your full authority as the Speaker of the House to pull back on every single criminal referral for these political prisoners of war sitting and rotting in the D.C. jail in order to correct what your predecessor, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, did. And he has the full authority to do it. And I would have looked at the general counsel for both the U.S. Capitol Police and his own for the Speaker and said, prove me wrong. It was the Speaker of the House that has the authority to submit criminal referrals for these people, and you as a Speaker can pull those back.
So if that happened, what would happen if he pulled all those back? What would happen?
You would probably get a response from the Zhiden White House and DOJ saying you can't do that, and we would have had a nice little constitutional dance to determine who's going to flex the hardest. And if I'm on whoever's team, I'm always going to flex harder than the other side is willing to flex. Always. But he didn't afford me that because guess what? Do you think he's a toxic, feckless, stone cold coward, or do you think he's a courageous war, you know, a war fighting hero like Joe Kent and Matt Gaetz?
Was Matt Gaetz also in the military?
No. I'm just using it as rhetorically speaking.
Yes. Okay. Well, I know that about you. And I know that about you.
Yo,
and I know
Matt
that about
Gaetz is a political beast.
Okay,
I love
but
that
I know
guy.
The war fighting part is a literal. That's a literal description of you and Joe Kent. What power constitutionally does the Speaker of the House have, and in regards to the control of Washington D.C. to literally open up and empty the jail cells of the J6 people tonight? What does he have?
Thank you. Preach. So two things, Brandon. Number one, the criminal referrals had to come from the Capitol Police Board over to the DOJ. The reason why Ray Epps hasn't been prosecuted is because I suspect that the Nancy Pelosi Capitol Police Board previously said, you know what, we're not going to prosecute Ray Epps, which means that they have the authority to prosecute. And then the same authority that has the ability to prosecute, or I should say conduct a criminal referral, is also the one that can pull it back and correct it if it's wrong. In this instance, he could do that. And number, that would be through the House Administration Committee, oh, by the way, of which, when I went to speak with one of the staffers, I'm not going to name names because they asked that. Let's just say that they are reading the Substack that I've put out. And I basically told them, by the way, this is what Mickey Whithoff gave to Speaker McCarthy, these two documents. And I posted it on my, I'll be posting it shortly. It's a list of the 33 victims of the government's role in J6, as well as who we've identified as the culprits of the murder, the homicide, and all the crimes committed by the bad actors of the government, meaning U.S. Capitol Police, MPD, others. And the other document was a Substack. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm in the middle of reading this. And we're going to incorporate that in the actual first, it looks like they're going to have the first release on their investigation of J6. So I don't know if I'm having an impact or influence, but I know Mickey Whithoff is having an impact and influence, and I'm happy to backbench and support her in every way that I can for her to make sure that Kevin McCarthy gets to the truth of January 6th, that you and your audience that I know what to be true, but they're going to actually memorialize it into reality, thus potentially showcasing that J6 was a straight-up coup d'etat, and the only way to correct it and remedy it is through a redo of J6. And I know that sounds outlandish and bold, but if you pull up, Brandon, at some point, maybe tomorrow, if you can pull up during your show, the 5 minutes that Congressman Morgan Griffith had today during the subcommittee hearing on oversight with the medical officer that they had as a witness, he literally brought up the lack of quorum component on January 6th that I have been discussing. This is huge.
Give me the name again so I can look. Give me the name so I can look it
up. This is so huge.
Give me the name so I can look it up.
Congressman Morgan Griffith. And by the way, yes, I was sitting in the room when he was questioning it. I was sitting behind the witness and lip syncing, OMG, thank you, looking at Congressman Morgan Griffith. Literally swooning in the back there.
So I'm trying to find that real quick. Is that making it all over TikTok or not TikTok, Twitter? What's it on?
No, it's probably hasn't. No one probably covered it because it's a very obscure kind of pedantic subcommittee hearing. So that's why we have to make
this
go so viral.
What's the word you just used? What did you just use?
Boring.
No, you used a better word than that. What was the word you used?
It was a lawyerly noise.
I know.
Pedantic.
That's wow, your vocabulary is amazing. I love it.
Yes, my polysyllabics are flourishing.
Well, you'll have to help me find the video because I'm having a hard time finding it right now.
No, so if you go to C-SPAN, I'll take a look at it and maybe for tomorrow or something we'll cover it. But that right there is literally the biggest news that no one is covering. He's literally foreshadowing in that Q&A that Kevin McCarthy was basically duped by the medical officer who advised only Nancy Pelosi to keep over 90% of Congress from participating in the joint session. And so, well, simultaneously, he's putting the spotlight that there was no quorum, and then taking some of the spotlight off and the heat off of Kevin McCarthy, and basically saying that he probably didn't know that this coup occurred. Which I've always argued that best case scenario. Stop. You're gonna hit those people.
on live television. Don't hit people on live television.
Best case scenario.
Yeah.
Kevin McCarthy was not in on the sham of the lack of quorum. Though, I mean, he should have known, but I guess he can say that it was kind of like it was a surprise to him when it occurred, real time. Is the best case scenario. And I think Congressman Morgan Griffith kind of alluded to that. I'm probably the only person on the planet that picked up on that. And the reason why I think he brought it up, because I've been bombarding his phone and Twitter to basically begging for him to.
So you've just admitted on television you're stalking.
Identify this.
You're admitting on television you're stalking a member of the U.S. Congress.
I'm not stalking. I am tagging the appropriate member of Congress that has the jurisdictional responsibility to address problems in our constitutional order, and he happened to hook, line, and sinker do the right thing. I absolutely love this guy now.
Great. Excellent. Okay, so when are we going to see a call for the vacating of the chair and a new speaker?
Wait, hold up. You kind of missed the point here. If Kevin McCarthy is doing everything that we're demanding him to do in the time that we're demanding him to do it in, I think his temporary speakership is going to continue for at least another few days.
Another few days. All right, great.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's happy for those extra few days. Okay.
Maybe a few weeks. I mean, wow. Today was massive.
So
like,
what?
It bought him time.
So what made
in
him?
In my book, it bought him time.
What made him reach out, you think, to Ashley Babbitt's mother?
Oh, I don't know, several thousand requests by Ashley Babbitt's mother to have a meeting, and probably several hundred thousand from all of us collective. Remember I was dropping the email address and phone number on a couple episodes, yours and a lot of other podcasts,
yes,
of his chief of staff?
Yes.
With a lot of requests? I think that did the trick.
Was she happy with the meeting today?
I think it was a very net positive. I would love if we're getting close. I don't know if you got to finish up because we're a little bit late getting there to the DC Gulag. But she made a comment to, there was a reporter from one of the radical disinformation purveyors out there that asked her what her feelings were on the meeting, and she said, Speaker McCarthy, I think she used the word wonderful, and then Marjorie Taylor Greene retweeted that earlier. You can pull that up. And it was quasi, I wouldn't say sarcastic. It was presented that way because she didn't want to give any details to a non-patriot network. It was literally, you know what? Pound sand, get away from me. I'm not going to feed into what you're trying to get me to talk about. And it was a cordial response. My assessment based on talking to her afterwards and then the interview that she did on One America News after coming out of the meeting was that it was a net positive, and I think we're going to see a seismic shift moving in our favor of what actually occurred on January 6th. And I'm going to end with this, if I got a couple seconds here. Mickey asked Kevin McCarthy if he had seen the video of Ashley being murdered by Michael Burt. And she said, look me in the eye and tell me you've seen that. And he said, I have not seen that. And she basically asked him, can you please watch that? And you're going to, decide for yourself that Michael Burt wasn't just doing his job, like you said to a reporter several weeks ago.
Wow. Wow. All right. Great update. I know you're in transit to the Gulag there, where they've already, as of 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, 8 minutes ago, they would have said the sang the national anthem, correct?
National anthem. Yep. Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. So before I let you go, are you still with us? We didn't just lose him, did we? Because I have a gift for him. Are you back?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you back? I want you to see this. I don't want to lose you because I want you to see this. I want people to realize that go ahead and do a side-by-side shot here, will you? There we go. He is the Telly Savalas. I finally figured it out tonight. He's the Telly Savalas of the America First movement.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It's is that your dad? Is that your dad?
Telly Savalas. What about Yul Brynner?
Yeah, but I think that's not a bad one either. You know, the Magnificent Seven you're talking about a while ago, you know. But yeah, you're the Kojak of the America First movement.
Well, some people call me Mini-Me. I've been called worse. You know, it's a Christian show. You know, family friendly.
Well, you know, a lot of our audience has no idea who Telly Savalas and Kojak are, so we're dating ourselves right now.
We are. I totally remember that.
All right. Well, I just came up with that on my own while ago, and I thought, you know, he sure looks like Telly Savalas tonight. So I pulled that up there and told the guys in the control room, put those up next to each other. So there you go. That you're the Telly Savalas. You're the Kojak of the America First movement.
Well, Brandon, I appreciate everything you're doing. You're one of the leaders in this America First movement because the audience and the truth that you push out. I mean, I really mean that. I know I'm always joking around, but sometimes I am serious, and people do take me serious, and this is my serious face and saying, God bless you, Brandon, for keeping this thing going. And you're one of the key components of why we've been able to create this necessary pressure on these members of Congress to include the speaker. Because you know, you have a big enough audience, and Mike Lindell's got a big enough audience for us to have this massive impact. And I just happen to be close by and available, and you give me the platform. So I appreciate you.
Well,
everybody that's watching.
You're very kind. And as we always say, it is a team effort. And your show is every day at WVW-TV over on my channel, WVWTV.com. What time do you go live every day?
4 p.m. Eastern till 4:30. And sometimes I'm in the faces of these guys that we're talking about.
That,
so you might catch me rubbing them the wrong way, if you will.
So he has a very unique show. He has a phone. He has a phone. You know, maybe Hillary said she had a phone and a pen. He has a phone with a camera, and this guy does his live show, and you can watch it on demand at WVWTV.com later if you don't catch it live, but 3 o'clock Central, 4 Eastern, right?
Yes, sir.
And he takes his phone up there to Capitol Hill and into meetings and does his show, and we never know from one day to another where he's going to be, who he's going to have. I mean, it's his doing his show on the fly on Capitol Hill and all over D.C. It's fascinating. You've got a unique show with a unique style, and no one else is doing talk television like that. It's pretty cool, and we're glad to have you on our team.
Love you, brother.
You too.
Love to be in
give them your Substack real quick.
Oh, yeah. If you want to read the Substack that was presented to, by the way, Clay Higgins, Andy Biggs, Congressman Loudermilk's office, the four members that represent the four deaths that occurred on January 6th, I gave Matt Gaetz has it. Everyone has the Substack article, the How to Get to the Truth and Justice of January 6th. It's at ivanraiklin.substack.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Ivan.
Thanks, Brandon.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Greet Mickey for us. All right. There he is, Ivan Raiklin.